The FDA has cleared booster shots targeting the latest COVID-19 variants, but plans for a fall booster campaign could face some challenges.
There's a lot of surveys that have come out that show that people are exhausted from getting COVID boosters, tired of the pandemic, and essentially comfortable with their level of immunization and protection from the vaccines they've gotten already.
And the Justice Department's latest disclosures raise the stakes for former President Donald Trump's legal team. Plus, why you might want to think twice before oversharing on LinkedIn. It's Wednesday, August 31st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Justice Department has provided its fullest explanation yet as to why FBI agents took the unprecedented step of seizing documents from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home earlier this month. As we reported this morning, the DOJ is pointing to likely obstruction in a detailed court filing describing their 1.5-year effort to obtain hundreds of classified documents. Our Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman explains.
Critically, the Justice Department said that Trump's lawyers were not forthcoming about all of the documents that they had relinquished and which still remained at Mar-a-Lago, even after they signed a sworn affidavit saying that they had given back all of the documents that the Justice Department had requested. Further investigation showed that that was not the case. And when agents arrived at Mar-a-Lago on August 8th, they seized twice as many documents as they had received from an earlier subpoena in June. That showed that the Trump team was still hanging on to documents after they had attested that they had given them all back. So that could be one possible element of obstruction. The other issue is that the Justice Department said it found evidence that some of the documents were moved and concealed from investigators. The Trump team had told them that all of those items were being held in a single storage room. However, when they searched the premises on August 8th, they found documents outside of that area, including in Trump's own office.
Trump's representatives did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The DOJ filing comes ahead of a court hearing tomorrow, where a judge will decide whether to approve the Trump team's request to appoint a third-party arbiter known as a special master to review the documents. Trump again criticized the search on his social media platform this morning. His aides have said Trump broadly declassified documents while in office, though there's no documented evidence of that. In Jackson, Mississippi, more than 150,000 people are without reliable running water for a third day. Flooding overwhelmed the city's main water treatment plant on Monday. But officials say the crisis has been decades in the making due to the city's neglected water infrastructure. Governor Tate Reeves says it could take 3 to 4 months to repair the plant. President Biden has approved a request for an emergency declaration in the city, which has been under a boil water advisory since last month. Water distribution sites have also been set up. In business news, Bed Bath & Beyond is making some big changes, announcing today it plans to close 150 stores, cut about 20% of its corporate and supply chain staff, and sell shares to raise cash. The moves come after a tough quarter for the retailer, where comparable sales fell 26%. The company also reported burning through $325 million of its cash reserves. Shares of Bed Bath & Beyond tumbled on the plan to issue new stock, ending the day down more than 21%. And Snapchat's parent company Snap is laying off 20% of its workforce after posting its weakest ever quarterly sales growth last month. That was largely due to challenges in its core digital advertising business. Like several other tech companies, Snap has had to adjust to Apple's new privacy policy, which lets users opt out of ad tracking across apps and websites. The policy has made it tougher for platforms to track ad performance. Snap is now looking to reduce costs by cutting spending on marketing, real estate, and overhead. Coming up, updated COVID-19 booster shots could be rolling out within days. But will Americans take them up this fall? More on the challenges after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The Food and Drug Administration has cleared booster shots targeting the latest Omicron variants of COVID-19, BA4 and BA5, in time for a fall inoculation campaign. The agency approved the shots from Pfizer and its partner BioNTech for people ages 12 and older, and shots by Moderna for people 18 and older, in both cases at least 2 months after their most recent dose. The updated shots mark the first changes to the original COVID-19 vaccines that were distributed in December of 2020. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will review them later this week, and the shots could start rolling out within days. But there are some challenges ahead, including staying ahead of the latest variants and combating vaccine fatigue among Americans. Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Jared Hopkins. Hi, Jared. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jared, vaccine makers pivoted earlier this year to make boosters targeting the latest Omicron variants, BA4 and BA5. What can you tell us about these retooled shots?
These new vaccines are updated from the ones that were initially authorized almost 18 months ago, in the idea that they target both the ancestral strain of the coronavirus as well as the strains BA4 and BA5, which have come to predominate the United States and in Europe. They're bivalent vaccines in the idea that they target not just one strain, but more than one in a way that could provide increased protection for individuals.
Why is the FDA recommending Pfizer and Moderna's vaccine for those 12 and older, but Moderna's only for those ages 18 and older?
This is consistent with how the vaccines were initially authorized. So Pfizer's initial COVID vaccine back in December 2020 was first authorized for individuals 12 and older. Moderna's vaccine initially was authorized for 18 and over. So the authorizations are just sort of consistent and parallel with what's been out there.
And what about boosters for children? What are we expecting there?
Both Moderna as well as Pfizer and its partner BioNTech are preparing authorizations for children and adolescent vaccines. Pfizer said today that it's planning to file for authorization from 5 to 11-year-old retooled bivalent booster in October.
Jared, in the past few months, we've seen waning uptake among the public for boosters for COVID-19. What are the expectations going forward with this new vaccine when it comes to combating fatigue?
The government and public health experts are hopeful that these retooled vaccines might lift up the booster rate in the United States. Many people, yes, have been sort of fatigued out mentally, not that their arms are fatigued, from getting COVID boosters. It's a challenge for public health officials. It's a challenge for vaccine experts and the government, and they've acknowledged that, and they are hoping to launch efforts and campaigns to encourage people to do it, to get the boosters. But it's going to be an uphill battle. There's a lot of surveys that have come out that show that people are exhausted from getting COVID boosters, you know, sort of tired of the pandemic and essentially comfortable with their level of immunization and protection from the vaccines they've gotten already.
These new shots were also cleared by the FDA without the results of some clinical trials. Is that likely to raise concerns about their safety and effectiveness? What do vaccine makers have to say about that?
Vaccine makers point out that this mRNA technology does allow for a sort of a quicker update of the vaccines than other technologies. This is not the first COVID vaccine that they are updating. They've made earlier versions of it. So the flu vaccine is authorized and cleared for use every year without human testing. The companies point out that they are also studying this. They are doing clinical trials that have started to test these new bivalent vaccines in clinical trials. But the FDA pointed out back in June, when they directed the companies to make these vaccines, that they weren't not necessarily going to wait for human trials to finish.
Jared, we've seen several variants of COVID-19 since it first emerged. This latest vaccine targets BA4 and BA5. What if another variant emerges before the end of the year? What's the likelihood of that, and what kind of protection are these expected to offer?
Well, we don't know if there's going to be another variant or when there's going to be another variant, but there's many scientists in the world who are studying all this. The expectation is that this new bivalent would still provide some level of protection against a new variant. Keep in mind that the existing vaccines, the original vaccines here, they also did protect against the Omicron variant as well as the subvariants BA4 and BA5. It's just that they provided diminishing levels of protection. It was just weaker than against the earlier strains of the virus.
Okay, so the FDA has cleared these shots and the CDC will take them up later this week. Jared, how soon could we see these start to roll out?
It's looking like maybe just after Labor Day that these will be rolled out. States are already pre-ordering doses, and they're expected to be available similarly to how the vaccines have been available for the last couple of years, which is at hospitals, at doctor's offices, at pharmacies, in a similar capacity as people are used to. So no big surprise on where they might be found.
That's Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Jared Hopkins. Jared, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, the lines between personal and professional have gotten a bit blurry in the past couple of years, as the actual physical barriers between home and office vanished during the pandemic. One other place where there's a noticeable difference? LinkedIn. In addition to the usual posts about work anniversaries and promotions, more LinkedIn users are also posting personal information, like wedding announcements, tributes to loved ones, and stories about overcoming challenges like addiction. But how can you know when your personal post could be crossing a line? Our personal tech reporter Katie Binley says it's important to think about the audience you're trying to reach.
I spoke with people who have a range of viewpoints on what's sort of okay to post and what's not. One woman I spoke with feels like you shouldn't even have to have a tie to work in there if you don't want to. It's okay to just post content that you feel like people might connect with and that, you know, shares a bit about who you are, and that it can be very isolating to try and have a personal self and then a professional persona, and that we shouldn't be kidding ourselves that these things are so separate. And then other people, you know, they find some of the content kind of cringeworthy. They feel like it's just too much. They maybe do want to just use LinkedIn for professional purposes and can find it jarring to sign in and see, a bunch of posts about really serious tragedy.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.